met with, even in 100,000 myriad countless. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Amish the Buddha, Amish the Dharma, Amish the Sangha. Chapter 6 of the Diamond Sutra. Is about faith. Subhuti said to the Buddha, "World-honored one, will there always be men who will truly believe after coming to hear these teachings?" Let's use the word people instead of men, since the Buddha answered, "Subhuti, do not utter such words. At the end of the last 500-year period following the passing of the Tathagata, there will be self-controlled people rooted in merit coming to hear these teachings who will be inspired with belief. But you should realize that such people have not strengthened their root of merit under just one Buddha or two Buddhas or three or four or five Buddhas, but under countless Buddhas, and their merit is of every kind. Such people coming to hear these teachings will have an immediate uprising of pure faith, Subhuti, and the Tathagata will recognize them. Yes, he will clearly perceive all these of pure heart and the magnitude of their moral excellences. Wherefore? It is because such people will not fall back to cherishing the idea of an ego entity, a personality, a being, or a separated individuality. They will neither fall back to cherishing the idea of things as having intrinsic qualities, nor even of things as devoid of intrinsic qualities. It's tempting to read this and to think, well, that counts me out. It says that such people cultivated merit, developed their merit through many lifetimes under many Buddhas. But consider that it's also commonly said in Buddhism that it takes great merit, great accumulation of merit, just to be born as a human being. And consider also that time stretches back endlessly without beginning. So who can say that any of us is not a manifestation in this lifetime, at this present time, in this world, in this realm of existence, of incalculable merit inherited from the past? We certainly have inherited enough karmic confusion and pain. And we know there has to be plenty of merit to shepherd that back, that spiritual need back to the eternal. So if we were to translate this into terms that are perhaps a little more down-to-earth sounding, what this is saying is that the capacity to hear the teaching of this scripture, which is a teaching that there is in fact one true reality, the eternal. And everything in our experience, everything in existence arises and passes within that one true existence, one true reality, one true life, which is also our true refuge. And the capacity to have faith in this truth, which is essential for doing real meditation, is a manifestation of merit that is incalculable, the manifestation of great merit. When I read this, there's one key sentence that I view as being pivotal in this little chapter. Such people coming to hear these teachings will have an immediate uprising of pure faith. So, I want to say something about this uprising of pure faith. Faith is not something of our creation. What we call faith is the Eternal's recognition of itself manifesting within what we call ourselves. To put it another way, the recognition of the All is One, which has its origin in the All is One, manifesting within the All is Different. Over and over again in her teaching on faith, Rumi Master Jiyu emphasized that the light of faith within us is indestructible. Because it does not originate with our personal will. It did not come into existence just when we were born. It will not pass out of existence when we die. It is always accessible. If we just make the effort to be still enough, perceive it. So this upwelling of faith of which this scripture speaks is not created by us. It's not created by any accumulated merit. It just is. And we can choose to pay attention to it and to open our hearts to it or to ignore it. This light of faith is not the same as dogmatic belief. It is the intuitive recognition of Buddha nature. What I have so often called the knowing without knowing. to do, to have commenced to do true religious meditation practice, people have to have paid attention to this little light of faith and let it lead them. To give up on the spiritual life, they have to choose to ignore it and neither the paying attention to it nor the ignoring it either creates or destroys it. It is. It gives us the capacity to look up in all situations. It gives us the capacity to take everything that happens as being for our good. It gives us the capacity to bow in all situations. It flows forth directly from our Buddha nature as part of itself, as an aspect of itself. The very teaching that there's no part of ourselves is actually truly separate from the eternal. And that the eternal is the true reality of all things. Really points out that faith itself originates in the eternal, not in our personal will. If we think again of the teaching of the Diamond Sutra as being a teaching that there is a true refuge that is the only real and enduring refuge. And that all that is transitory and impermanent, subject to birth and death, to arising and passing, is in comparison with that true refuge unreal and insubstantial. And that none of that impermanence, nothing that is impermanent can ever take the place of our true refuge. If we understand that as the teaching of the Diamond Sutra, which is what it really is, then we can understand that faith, what faith really is, is our innate capacity to turn towards our true refuge. Our innate capacity hear the voice of the eternal our innate capacity to turn towards it for help and to follow its guidance And that innate capacity is realized more and more in our experience. As the clouds of confusion and agitation are allowed to dissolve within the stillness of meditation, within the actual spiritual act of refuge taking in the eternal. Faith has nothing to do with dogmatic belief, with intellectual belief. No one sits and does this meditation without faith. Faith led us to do it. Faith sustains us in the doing of it. And no one can calculate the merit of even one moment of true meditation. It's not an uncommon belief among some Buddhists that you have to have a very special accumulation of merit to even meditate as a lay trainee. I think that with better teaching, people would not give such views as much credence as they get. You don't have to be a special person. In any way whatsoever. Do this training. Homage to all the Buddhas in all the world. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all the world. Homage to the scripture of great.